This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Technology is fueling the transformation of almost every industry, including HR, which is typically seen as one that heavily involves the human touch and warmth of personal relationships. According to studies, 60% of companies in the Asia-Pacific region are actively looking at fresh HR technology investments, as the HR world automates traditional administrative practices so that the HR department can focus more on strategy and developing new policies. How is this mobile-first world we live in affecting HR? Are we slowly removing the human element in human resources? Well, to answer these questions and more on Resource Center today is Vikrant Khanna from Alight Solutions.
Glad to be on the show, Audrey. On the topic of HR technology, we're seeing a very big shift take place. Previously, HR technology was used mostly for administration purposes, which means that you wanted to have a single system of records. Today, as the world has gotten more and more digital, I mean, as consumers, we want everything on our phones. There is an immense amount of pressure, not only on HR, but other corporate functions as well, to bring in that same consumer-grade experience to their employees. And as HR does that, we're seeing that there are machineries which are working at two speeds. You have the digital world, where things are moving at a pace which is faster than ever. And then you have the HR policies and programs which aren't moving at that pace. Mm. So this differential of speed is leading to a lot of dissatisfaction on technology. And there are several reasons. So the way we look at digital, it's not really about bringing in technology, but it's truly about a mindset shift on how you can help programs and policies be adapted by leaders and by employees in a faster pace than ever, which is a combination of the right programs, the right HR function, along with the right technology. That happens to be the biggest driver for dissatisfaction, as many would say, in the HR tech world. And the other driver for dissatisfaction is that HR never really owned up to its technology. Technology was always an IT decision. We need something for performance management. We let IT go figure it out. Those times are changing. What we're seeing in successful organizations is that HR is stepping up and taking all the decisions with regards to their function, which means that they know the employees better. They know what the leaders want out of things like performance, recruiting, onboarding. So they need to be the ones who are taking those decisions.
So Alight's State of HR Transformation report also claimed that 60% of companies in the region are actively planning and evaluating fresh tech investments for the next 12 months or so. What kind of new tech is this, and how are they essential in building an organization's future readiness?
Okay. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that technology previously was viewed more as a system of records. Mm. So you wanted to store your employee data. You wanted to have all information on your employees in a single source of truth. Technology is now moving to a system of engagement, a system which brings in greater productivity. And as that shift happens, you want more and more people, employees, leaders, to use technology in a way which can help them take decisions faster. Taking an example, performance management is increasingly moving to more continuous feedback. So if an employee has done a good job, you want to commend him or her immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah. We all live in the world of instant feedback. The moment you put something on Facebook or LinkedIn, you're immediately looking for the number of likes, right? Mm. That same philosophy is now coming into organizations. And that's the system of engagement which organizations want to drive. And there is, it goes beyond that system of engagement. If people are more active on a platform within the organization, it strengthens collaboration. It is giving you more and more data about your organization, your employees, to take right decisions for them, for the business. And that's a big shift that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. So as organizations are evaluating new technology, they're trying to evaluate new technology on three or four big parameters. So they're looking at technology which offers a great user experience, which is where it's not only about mobile first, it's also about what will the experience be across devices. Mm-hmm. We as employees use our desktops, our laptops, our mobile phones. Hell, we even use wearables now. So how is the experience over there? Mm-hmm. They're looking at what is the analytical capability that technology brings in. So is it taking away the pain of churning out reports, doing analysis, and actually throwing up actionable data and insights for people to take action on? And the last thing that organizations are looking at is an overall reduced cost of ownership. We all know that cloud technologies have really grown exponentially over the last few years. And that's where I think the total cost of ownership view is also coming in.
So we're basically talking about omni-channel service and more video-based learning or teachings. Is that the kind of programs that companies are looking into?
Yeah, those are tipping points. So our study actually covers what could be future of some of these technologies and the impact that they'll have. And you raised a very good point around where do we see things headed. So actually, we asked many of our respondents who were all heads of HR on by when do they think learning will be video-based. Almost half of it will be video-based. And, you know, to our surprise and a pleasant one, we saw that in close to about 5 to 10% of the organizations, learning today is already video-based, which means that employees and leaders have access to information when they want, where they want, and it's embedded in their workflow. So if I'm doing a task and I need to quickly learn something, I have the same YouTube kind experience of putting things over there and getting the right learning. And the direction which most of these tipping points are taking is that HR will evolve into a function which expends the least amount of effort on administrative tasks and spends the highest amount of effort in retaining what's human about it, which is helping managers coach better performance, which is building successful leadership pipelines and helping the organization be agile enough to adapt to changes which are coming. And that's what's human about HR. Program administration, thinking through, have payroll checks been processed? Are people compliant to learning? The direction which technology is taking, those things are going to be a thing of the past.
All right. I'm going to read an excerpt from your report here on HR manpower and its correlation with an organization's HR maturity. This is how it goes. Mature HR organizational archetypes are almost five times more confident of their future readiness than other organizations and are able to operate an HR function that is two times more productive. Further, such organizations have an average HR to full-time equivalent staffing ratio of 1 to 92 compared to others that have a ratio of 1 to 52. So does this statistic come down to just the injection of technology, or are we taking into account the scale of the company as well? I mean, a company like BFM with less than 100 staff may need fewer HR personnel compared to, say, Sime Darby with thousands of staff. Mm-hmm. Is it just the tech, or are we also looking at the scale of the companies?
I would say that it's not the scale of the company because as we look at it, there were two parts to the statement that you read, Audrey. There is the way we define mature archetypes. Mature archetypes are organizations which have clarity on how their HR organization will run. And then what they've done is that they've complemented that organization with the right kind of technology. So it's two things. There is one part certainly which is about technology, but the larger part is around how will HR service its employees, and that's how the HR organization is staffed, what are the roles it'll have, do the people who are in those roles have the right capability. That all comprises of the HR operating model, so to say. These two things must come together for successful HR functions. And the reason why we went deep into the data this time around, this being our second edition, was to also arrive at a fact that the more you think about the function in terms of how it needs to be structured, the more you invest in aspects like better processes, better technology to run those processes, it is making the function A, more productive. You've seen the staffing ratios. Mm. And the second thing what it does is that for leaders, both on the HR side as well on the business side, it brings in greater confidence in what the function is delivering on. We had four anchors to measure that confidence. The first anchor was, how well are programs delivering the right outcomes? You don't just do leadership development for the sake of it, right? You do leadership development to have a future-ready succession pipeline which can run the business seamlessly. So are programs delivering that success pipeline? That's the outcome focus of the discussion. The second aspect that we looked at while evaluating future readiness was, how well is the HR function staff? How are the roles within the HR function? Do they have the right capabilities? The third aspect of that measurement was, how is service delivery from HR? So if I want to know about a policy, if I want to know anything about my paycheck, what are the channels I can reach out to? How smooth is my interaction? So how is service delivery? And the last but most important one was that, how do we govern the HR function? So how do we measure programs? How do we measure the effectiveness? How do we measure the efficiency of the function? And more importantly, are we taking the right corrective actions? All these put together give us a picture of the future readiness. And what we found was that organizations which have very well thought out HR functions, the operating model, and who've invested in a complementing technology strategy, they're the ones who are successful, both in terms of confidence on the function as well as their staffing ratios.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, I ask Vikrant if we will soon be interviewed for jobs by robots. Don't go anywhere. Resource Center will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
We're back. This is Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. In the studio with me today, talking about driving HR in a digital world, is Vikrant Khanna from Alight Solutions. Alight is a leader in technology-enabled wealth, health, and human capital management solutions, and they have just released a new report on the state of HR transformation. Before we start talking about robots, Vikrant, maybe you can tell us a bit about the state of HR transformation study and why Alight chose to hone in on this sector.
So you've introduced Alight, right? For us, human capital is a very large part of our business. And the study actually came to being 2 years back, and this is the second edition of the study. What we wanted to do, Audrey, was to have a study which is focused on the HR function and how the HR function is organizing itself to meet the needs of the businesses as changes are taking place faster than ever. You know, there's a fair bit of research out there which talks about the direction that businesses are taking, the direction that employees are taking. But we felt that there was a gap in someone reading through how the HR function is gearing up to help businesses navigate through these changes. And the reason why it also became important was that any transformation in today's day and age, be it of a business model, be it of a digital transformation, that has to have HR at its heart, because it involves culture, it involves a shift in the speed which organizations run at. So we set out and said, why not have a study which is understanding how the HR function in itself is transforming to serve the business better. So that's how the study came to being. And yes, it's the study is grown. So this year we had close to about 670 participants across Asia Pacific. Mm. And that was very humbling and exciting to see something that we started only 2 years back grow so rapidly.
Okay. Automation and AI, it's changing the world we live in today, in businesses, in the way we live our lives. How is HR affected by the fourth industrial revolution? Will we be interviewed for a job by an AI avatar soon?
Well, it's happening in some places, but we don't see that taking place anytime soon. What is happening on the recruitment side is that data science is really helping organizations take better decisions on the talent they attract. So there are a fair bit of advancements which have taken place around talent assessments, your assessments with regards to the fit for the role that you're getting into. It will look at the whether you'll be a proper fit in the organization given certain personal behaviors and characteristics. And of course, the time and the energy which is now being expended onto interviews through video and video interviews is also becoming very prominent. So there's a lot of data which you now have at your fingertips to take the decisions on hiring. But will we see that time when we are interviewed by robots? Well, I'd hope not.
Many say that HR can never truly be replaced by technology. What are your thoughts on this?
It cannot. It cannot be replaced by technology. It's a coming together. The HR in itself has the word human in it. So can HR be replaced by technology? It certainly cannot. The shift that we are seeing is that HR is freeing up its bandwidth to spend more time on things which actually matter to leaders, to businesses, to employees. And that cannot happen if you don't invest in automating some of the manual tasks, if you don't invest in removing some of the pains of doing reporting and analytics. So that's a shift that we're seeing. But all these shifts are geared up for HR professionals to actually have time to move away from firefighting and spend more time with businesses. Taking an example, you know, whenever we get into engagements, we're asked that, okay, let's see how and where does the HR function spend time. And what we find is that, you know, mundane things like, you know, a day when the payroll wasn't run properly, or a day when someone could not access the system, or a day when, you know, people had a lot of queries around how they were rated in their performance interviews. Those are things where HR is spending a lot of time. We qualify them as rather operational or tactical activities. Where HR should rather be spending time is with leaders to understand what is the direction which their business is taking. And with that direction, what is it that they'll need in terms of the skills to run the business? How will they grow in key markets? So those are the things which HR needs to worry about. And for the first time, what we are seeing, Audrey, is that people are very keen to listen to what HR has to say. Because with the dramatic shifts which are taking place in the talent ecosystem, HR is on the front seat. It's a matter of whether they can free up bandwidth from the administrative tasks, so to say, and actually start spending time with the businesses. That's what makes HR more human. That's what makes HR so critical for the future success of any organization.
And what are Alight's recommendations or recommended actions to deliver low effort, high impact HR that we require for future readiness?
It's a good one. So I'll go through the top three, what I always tell our clients. Stop thinking about digital HR. You know, it's a big misnomer that people think that digital HR is about getting in fancy technology. It's not. It's about you thinking about HR in a world which is more digital. It's just not a wordplay. When you think about digital HR, you restrict yourself just to technology. When you think about HR in a digital world, you're thinking about things like speed, transformation, innovation, agility. And that means that you will start thinking about programs in a different way and light. You'll not think about how will this program fit onto technology. So you'll not think about how will my performance management form look on a piece of technology, but you'll think rather, what is it that I want out of my performance management program? I want my employees to be able to get good feedback, actionable feedback at the right time, instantly, which means that I need to have a platform which is more mobile enabled so that feedback can come. What do I do with that feedback? I want managers to action on it. My managers need to be better coaches, which means that we'll need to spend time in helping managers adopt to the change and the speed which digital brings in. And then with all this information that we have, we want it to lead to better development plans. And all of this should be tracked on a single system of engagement, on a single source of truth. And HR needs to be taking action and seeing whether the performance management program is yielding the right leadership, is it yielding the right set of capabilities. That's the mindset shift. When you think of HR in a digital world, your horizons widen. Digital HR will restrict you only onto technology. So that's the first advice. The second advice we give is that digital, thinking of digital is a journey. You cannot stop at it. Technology is ever changing. I'm an Apple user. I know that there are new features which come in every quarter. It is the same thing with technology. There are newer and newer features which come out once every 3 months on some platforms, once every 6 months. The expectations of the of our employees and leaders continue to change. So it's a journey. You need to have a journey mindset. And the third thing is that the one thing which will make any transformation successful is a relentless focus on change. Behavior change takes the longest, and it's the single largest source of failure for any transformation. Mm. And everyone will have different needs around change. So a manager needs to understand what's in it for me from this program. A leader needs to appreciate it. HR in itself needs to appreciate it. Many a times when we speak with clients and we are pushing them for a change or we are trying to educate them why that change is needed, common things that we get from HR is that, you know, we've always done it this way, or the business won't change. The businesses are ready to change. The employees are ready to change. It's the will to act and execute on that change which will help you succeed.
All right. Vikrant, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. I've been speaking with Vikrant Khanna from Alight Solutions. For more info on the State of HR Transformation Study 2018-2019 report, just check out this link, hrtransformation.alight.com. That's a wrap for this episode of Resource Center. See you next week. On behalf of Vikrant Khanna from Alight Solutions and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for listening. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.